Hello and welcome to the Philosopher's Zone. I'm Alan Saunders. This week, one of the most influential philosophical movements of the 20th century, existentialism, and the movies. But we're not talking about the sort of movie you might think of in this context, something gloomy and black and white by Ingmar Bergman with writing at the bottom of the screen. No, we're talking about a recent American comedy, I, Heart, Huckabees, co-written and directed by David O. Russell. And to talk about it, I'm joined by Dr. Kerry Sanders from the University of Sydney's Centre for Continuing Education. Kerry, welcome back to the Philosopher's Zone.
Hi, Alan.
Hi. Well, let's begin with what the movie is about. There's an environmental activist called Albert Markovsky. He's played by Jason Schwartzman, and he's determined to solve a coincidence in his life. He's seen the same conspicuous stranger three times in one day. So he hires a pair of detectives played by Dustin Hoffman and Lily Tomlin, but they're existential detectives. And they insist on spying on his everyday life while sharing their views on life and on the nature of the universe. So what's going on here? Why has he got the existentialist detectives?
That's one of the other coincidences, of course, that he happens to have their card in his pocket. But they're right to see that his problem isn't just with one coincidence. It's standing in for the fact that his life seems to be losing meaning for him, and he's trying to grab onto any little thing to try and think to himself that there might be a meaning even in his disintegration. Of course, he has to deal with the fact that they're going to pull his life apart and have a look at every aspect of it, and he doesn't want that. But in the end, they're challenging him to look deeply at his life, to really consider what it means and what it means to him.
And one of the curious things is, of course, that the coincidence, seeing the same person three times, the coincidence is sort of dissolved by the movie. It turns out not to be all that significant at all.
Well, everything's either meaningful or completely meaningless. So in one sense, the coincidence is meaningless. You can just see the same person three times. It doesn't mean anything at all. But of course, it means something to Albert because he makes it into something. And that's part of the existential philosophy, that whatever we choose out of the multitude of events that come our way every day, those are the things which make us into who we are. So it's both meaningful and yet, in the broader universal sense, of course, meaningless.
But the existential detective agency, they're quite big on meaning, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
They're very keen on the interconnectedness of all things.
Yes, one of the nice things about the movie is that it gives the two sides of existentialism, the German-influenced Heideggerian existentialism, and we've got the darker French existentialism.
This is represented by Isabelle Huppert, who turns up in the course of the movie, but her arrival is heralded by the mysterious appearance of her books.
Yes. The Katerina character is the French character that nothing is meaningful. Life is absurd, it's cruel, and that individual self-interest is pretty well the only thing that matters.
Well, now, let's just look at what existentialism is. I mean, it was a buzzword amongst many people in the middle of the 20th century, but where does it come from and what's it got to do with existence?
Well, existence precedes essence is the catchcry, where certainly the name comes from. It's a movement which doesn't understand your essence as a person being given somehow by a source such as God. You have to make your essence as you go along through your life, making conscious choices. That's why existentialism is about the existential. That means it's about living. It's about your existence. I think it was very appealing because it does free you from all the traditional ideas about what gives you meaning and all those rules and conventions who tell you how to live and what's wrong and what's right and so on.
Now, I suppose when existentialism was at its grooviest in the public mind in, say, the 1950s...
Turtleneck sweaters.
Precisely. Turtleneck sweaters, berets and...
About to commit suicide, but looking good at the same time.
Yes, and posters of Juliette Gréco. It was believed by people to be a French movement. It was associated with Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus.
Don't forget de Beauvoir.
And Simone de Beauvoir, of course. But before that, there was German existentialism, most notably represented by Martin Heidegger. So what is German existentialism?
Yes, it really goes back well before Heidegger, and it comes out of German Romanticism. German Romanticism is attempting to return to the real in nature. The real in nature is the great blanket of existence. And this is very nicely done in the movie by Dustin Hoffman, because he actually gets a blanket out and says, here you are, Albert, and here's the Eiffel Tower, and here's Brad, your archenemy. But really, at the lower level, individual existence is an illusion and everything is deeply connected.
So how does this differ from what then went on in France?
It's not that the French existentialist, particularly Camus, for example, doesn't think that there is a meaning there, but that meaning is only in the individual consciousness to create meaning. There may be stuff in the universe, but it has no intrinsic meaning in it. Therefore, it's no good looking for meaning. You have to make it for yourself. But really, the difference is in the tone, I think. One is far more upbeat. They do it nicely in the film by saying magic and manure. Magic goes with the existential detectives, and manure is what Katerina is trying to play out. The cruel and the kind, the destructive and the creative, really being and nothingness.
There's another distinction, which is that German existentialism, especially as represented by Martin Heidegger, is quite rural. I mean, Heidegger didn't like cities. He lived in the country. He tried to identify with country people, with simple craftsmen. Whereas French existentialism, it seems to me, it belongs in a cafe on the left bank of the Seine. It belongs in Paris. We have this to some extent represented in the movie by the fact that Albert, our central character, is, as I said, an environmental activist, very, very keen on preserving bits of rock and marsh and so on.
Yes, that's a nice point to make. And certainly Katerina is more interested in the people in Albert's life, and Albert's more interested in his landscape. But of course, his landscape is really the landscape of himself. How much he's interested in the rock and how much he's interested in his poems about the rock, I think, is played out in the film. He thinks that he wants to preserve nature, but of course nature is whatever nature is to us, and this film is about the nature within. And in the end, I think he realises that. You can play out your dreams by being an environmentalist, but don't forget that nature is to us. Whatever nature is to itself, well, how the hell would we know?
We haven't mentioned the title of the movie. I said it's called I Heart Huckabees, and this is heart in the sense of one of those little images of a heart, as in those T-shirts that say I Heart New York. And Huckabees is a big retail business concern. It's represented in the movie most notably by Jude Law, who plays an executive of the company, and also by, I should say, our own Naomi Watts.
Yes.
Who is the face of the company on its ads. Where does the company come into the sort of philosophical picture of the movie?
Well, I think doing heart rather than the word is about the icon, about the symbol, the capitalist symbol, of course. I think that the existentialism in it is not necessarily against the idea of the capitalism. It's the way in which the capitalism subsumes the characters underneath its logo, underneath its image. And of course, Naomi Watts in the end rebels and wants to be herself. Though they keep asking the character, when am I not myself?
Yes.
How am I not myself? But of course, it needs to be chosen by the person. Existentialism about self-chosen life. So Naomi Watts is living what you might see as an inauthentic existence because she's allowing the company and the logo to tell her who she is. And she needs to throw that off and then to find some kind of authentic existence for herself.
There's a problem that I have certainly with French existentialism, and it sort of comes up here in the context of finding out who you really are, making a choice and not pretending. And famously, at the beginning of his great blockbuster Being and Nothingness, Jean-Paul Sartre talks about a waiter in a cafe. Yeah, here we are, we're back in a cafe.
Yes.
It's very French.
Very French.
Yes. He talks about a waiter in a cafe who's actually pretending to be a waiter. He's acting the part of a waiter. He is inauthentic. And my reaction to that is that how do you get to be a waiter other than by pretending to be a waiter? Similarly, how do you get to
be Sartre without pretending
yes.
to be?
Well, I mean, it's like, how do you get to sleep?
Yes.
You get to sleep by pretending that you are asleep. You close your eyes, you look like a sleeping person.
Yes, we act our existence.
Yeah, you surely need to do that. That's not inauthentic.
Yes, I think the distinction is certainly not as clear as some forms of existentialism make out. It really comes out that it's more authentic if you're doing creative projects. Existentialism tends to go very well with writers and painters and so on, as if somehow that's not acting either. Surely the persona of being a writer or being an actor is acting out that existence. So why not a waiter? Yes, I do have the same problem with existentialism. I think that the distinction is somewhat arbitrary.
Well, if you want to find out more, not just about I Heart Huckabees, but about other representations of existentialism in literature and film, Kerry Sanders is running a course on existential philosophy in literature and film at the University of Sydney Centre for Continuing Education on Mondays from the 9th of January, Monday mornings, and on Thursday evenings from the 12th of January. And there will be details on our website. Kerry Sanders, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
And if you have any more existential crises in your own life, they will doubtless be solved over the next quarter of an hour when you listen to Occam's Razor, presented as ever by Robin Williams.